number two of Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you live from Las Vegas. Josh Applebaum with you live out there in Boston, Massachusetts. And let's welcome back to the program Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com. Pete, how are you? I think we have Pete. Waiting for Pete here. Josh, college football and coming up this week, your thoughts on the Big Ten, that situation with Wisconsin and Nebraska, that game canceled, no contest. They're out of weeks too in the Big Ten, and just trying to figure that one out in that game, that situation with the Badgers.
Yeah, Pritch, you're totally right. You know, question marks here with the quarterback. Unfortunately, the Big Ten, you know, the way they started late, they didn't really build in any opportunities to kind of take advantage of these situations where you can maybe push a game back. Pritch, I want to throw a little curveball at you though, as we wait for Pete. Whenever we get him, we can throw him on.
But I'm looking at the games. Him. Do we have Pete?
Okay.
Hi, you got me?
Yeah, we got you now.
All right, here we go. Yeah,
We did it.
Nice.
How are you? Welcome back to the program.
I'm doing just fine, guys. How you been?
Great. Josh and I were just talking about this Wisconsin-Nebraska situation. Here's where the Big Ten comes back weeks late, or not late, or when they felt comfortable at least, but they're out of weeks in terms of moving games around, so they had to cancel Wisconsin-Nebraska.
Yeah, there's two ways to look at this. One, the Big Ten, when the Big Ten initially did this, when they had the full season, they had it almost perfect. They had a bunch of fail safes built in. They were going to play Ohio State, Michigan early. You had all these off weeks. There was something like three off weeks built in. You thought, okay, they got this one figured out. And they decide to postpone, not play for a while. Fine, okay. And then they go to this whole eight-week thing. I thought the SEC was kind of messed up by packing in its schedule with only one backstop. There's no wiggle room here. So unless the Big Ten decides that, you know what, the division games are most important. So let's say you cancel the Wisconsin game against Michigan, you cancel the Nebraska game against Penn State on November 14th, then the two can play, and then you might have a true West Division champion out of all this. But that's kind of a mess. Now, the flip side of all this is the system worked. So we can all kind of complain about how, you know, this kind of stinks, it's all bad. But testing's not a cure. The whole point of this is that everyone's getting tested here so that everyone else can play. Wisconsin got tested, failed, couldn't do it, can't play because they've got all these positive tests. But now they can't go, but everyone else is still able to go. So the system worked. It just still stinks for everybody else.
Pete, this is Josh Applebaum. It's great to meet you for the first time. I wanted to run some games by you this upcoming weekend. So I wanted to get your thoughts on big matchup here, Ohio State and Penn State. So obviously it's going to be one of the most heavily bet games of the week. It's a 7:30 game, prime time here. You have two ranked teams, Ohio State third overall, Penn State 18 overall. The way I'm seeing this game is you did see both pros and Joes kind of hit Ohio State. Hit the Buckeyes. They're minus 11. They're now up to minus 12-ish, 11.5. I do have a system here, two ranked teams. You take the favorite. It's about 55% against the spread historically. But are we overthinking this? Is this just lay the points with Ohio State? They're awesome. They'll easily win by two touchdowns or more. Or is there any chance where the Nittany Lions with the points can keep this close?
Well, first I'll take a little bit of a fight with your idea of going with two ranked teams, especially considering the rankings to begin with. One of them has Penn State ahead of Indiana, even though they lost the head-to-head. The rankings are all kind of wacky, but I'm with you on this. The problem with this game to try to figure out is we still don't quite know what Penn State is. Penn State dominated Indiana. They only allowed something like 140 yards until the last 2 minutes of that game. The defense was amazing. They just couldn't hold on for the late touchdown drive, the late two, and the late two that wasn't a two. The defense is still there. This is still a pretty one-dimensional Ohio State team. It's Justin Fields and more Justin Fields. The running backs didn't quite work right. They got beaten up a little bit on the lines, and yet they still won 52-17. So talent-wise, it's all there for the Buckeyes. Penn State's offense, Sean Clifford was great. Their running backs are a little bit thin, a lot thin at this point. I kind of like Penn State to keep this within the 12 at home, but I'm not really strong on it.
You know, Pete, I'm looking for information when it comes to the Big Ten because I'm trying to figure out how good Ohio State is, kind of like what you just laid out right there. So when you look at the top of the Big Ten, You look at the top teams, usual suspects, right? Ohio State.
Like Rutgers?
No, not like Rutgers, but maybe. But Michigan, Ohio State, and, you know, the usual names, right? But then the SEC, Alabama, Georgia, sprinkle in Texas A&M every once in a while. But the middle of the pack, like when I'm trying to figure out the Big Ten, I want to compare them to the middle of the pack of the SEC. Is there a comparison there?
Little bit, but this year it's kind of off because where is that middle of the pack of the SEC? Auburn's not that great. LSU can't play any defense at times. Texas A&M's fine, but they got their doors blown off by Alabama. So talent-wise, yeah, the SEC is always going to have more talent than everyone else. And I think the crazy fun stat is over the last 3 years, I think the SEC has accounted for 25% of the NFL draft. You add in the Big Ten, and there's 43% of your draft every year. So the talent's all there. The two conferences. The middle of the pack of the Big Ten this year, though, I mean, Michigan State stinks. They're usually pretty good. Penn State just lost to Indiana. Indiana's just kind of okay. Nebraska's not very good. Minnesota's just kind of okay. So it's not a very deep league. So in terms of Ohio State, yeah, talent-wise, they're just far better than everyone else. If they beat Penn State this weekend, there's nothing there. They don't play Wisconsin, like if Wisconsin comes back. The rest of their schedule just isn't all that bad until the very end in the Michigan game on December 12th. So Michigan looks like it's really strong. That's about it. I mean, Wisconsin was the world beater out there. Wisconsin's the one that we all really kind of wanted to see what it was going to do, and we still might, but that was kind of it. Everyone else, it's Wisconsin, it's Michigan, it's Ohio State, and unless Penn State rises up and does something great this weekend, there's just not a lot out there.
Pete, I wanted to talk about a couple of teams you just mentioned here, looking at the game this Saturday, 3:30 p.m., Indiana and Rutgers. So we have both these teams here. You had Indiana that off that big win against Penn State. You also had the Rutgers Scarlet Knights with Shiano back, had a huge win there. They're getting about 10 points, and they won by 11 at Michigan State. But what I'm seeing for this game here is you had Indiana open around a 12-point favorite on the road. This line is now down to 10.5. I've seen a lot of smart money load up on Rutgers at home, getting big points, at least with the hook with the 10.5. Some books are even down to 10 at this point. Do you agree with this move? Do you like Rutgers and the points here? What kind of game plan will Shiano have to devise in order to keep this one close for Scarlet Knights backers?
There's one kind of problem with this whole Rutgers thing. They're still really bad at college football. Look, it got overshadowed by the win over Michigan State. That offense did nothing. They turned it over three times. They couldn't run the ball effectively. The passing game did not do anything down the field. But when you force seven turnovers, things kind of look a whole lot better. So give Greg Schiano credit. This defense was great. It was great at getting in the backfield. It was great at coming up with the big plays. So unless it can force a ton of mistakes by Indiana, I take Indiana still. Until Rutgers can prove that its offense can do something right when it's not getting helped by seven takeaways, that's part of the mix, though. Maybe this is just going to be that team that forces a ton of mistakes and all of a sudden everyone loves them again. Or maybe it's Arkansas, where there's your big surprise so far in the 2020 season that Arkansas is actually pretty good when no one thought it was going to happen. I'm not going to buy into it quite yet. Be really happy that the line went down a little bit because that might be a gift. Indiana, remember, if you really thought Indiana was going to beat Penn State, and a lot of people did last week, then you got to think they're just going to just rock Rutgers team. That again, I want to see that offense do something.
Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com is with us on Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum. Let's get over to the Mountain West Conference. Pete, CSU finally getting a game against Fresno State. Steve Addazio making his debut there with the Rams. DeBoer, new coach with the Fresno State Bulldogs. How do you see this game?
This one's tough. I mean, you want to talk about the problem with the 2020 season so far, and we saw this with the Big Ten, and you really saw this with the Mountain West last week, is that these teams just aren't rising up right away. Everything's kind of haywire. Hawaii went in there and beat Fresno State on the road. Okay, you know, Wyoming all of a sudden can't play defense, and they got rocked by Nevada. It just, there's all these crazy games last week. Colorado State, we don't know what they are yet. Are they in shape? Are they going to have everything in sync yet? I kind of like Fresno State only because they have a game under their belt. It's kind of hard to see these teams in game one really find their football shape because we just don't know if these guys are going to be stuck in win wind or not by the second half. So I'm going to sheepishly go with Fresno State, but we just don't know what Colorado State is quite yet. So go Fresno State, even though they had a rough first week.
Pete, one other game I want to talk to here. It's great to have you on the show today. Thanks for taking the time. Michigan State and Michigan. So obviously a big matchup here, a very big line move. Pritch and I were talking about this game earlier today. It opened around Michigan minus 25. It's ticked back a little bit here, 24.5 toward Michigan State in the points. Obviously Michigan State off a loss. Michigan looking good off kind of that big win there. Any reason to want to lay the points with this one of Michigan? You know, we're talking about a very low total and a big spread, which typically benefits a dog, especially when they're an unranked conference dog, by low spot off a loss against a ranked team. But how do you cap this one? Any reason to think Michigan State can keep it close, or is this just Wolverine's role in this one?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, you know, besides that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? You know, besides the 7 turnovers, Michigan State, you kind of did all right. They're not going to turn the ball over 7 times against Michigan. Michigan's really, really good. I'm a believer. They just beat up a pretty good Minnesota team on the road. The rivalry aspect has something to do with this. I do think the defense is going to play okay for Michigan State. I don't think the offense is going to turn over 7 times. Those are a lot of points to give away. So I kind of am inclined towards Michigan State and the points here. They're certainly not going to beat Michigan outright. But let me put it to you this way. If you like Michigan State in this, wait a little bit, because as always happens, few teams in all of sports get late money that comes in faster than Michigan games, because that Michigan crowd wakes up on Saturday morning and they will hammer their team to win outright. So if you like the Spartans at all, you're going to get, there's an extra point and a half waiting to be going up out there. So go with that. And if you like Michigan, you know, do it now, because that, again, that line's probably going to go up a little bit.
Pete, let's get to some Heisman odds, because there's a name on this list from BetMGM in terms of odds for the Heisman Trophy that I'm interested in. That's Joe Milton. He's 25-1, but certainly Trevor Lawrence, he's a favorite, minus 110. Justin Fields, plus 155. Mac Jones appearing there at the top at plus 900. But Milton, what can you say about, what do you know about Joe Milton here?
Well, he might be the final and finally the answer for Michigan's quarterback problems. And that's been the bizarre thing under Jim Harbaugh. Here's the guy who really kind of helped make Andrew Luck Andrew Luck. He's the one who made the call on Colin Kaepernick at San Francisco, and they almost won a Super Bowl with him. This guy is a brilliant quarterback, you know, coaching mind, and yet haven't had quarterbacks. Look at the Michigan quarterbacks compared to, say, Ohio State, where you go right down the line with Justin Fields and Dwayne Haskins and JT Barrett. You know, who are Michigan quarterbacks so far? And so finally, Michigan looks like they've got a quarterback who can carry them a little bit. But the Heisman's a funky thing. You know, when is that big game going to come? If for Milton, first of all, the numbers are going to have to be off the charts compared to some of these other guys. And then it comes down to, you got to be Penn State, you got to be great doing it, and you got to beat Ohio State. If you don't think he can do those two things, he's not going to win the Heisman. So even though those odds are pretty decent, all right, fine. On this list here, watch out for Kyle Trask. His numbers have been great. It's not his fault that they lost to Texas A&M. He was great. Florida's offense has been just phenomenal so far, and he could rock against Georgia. If he comes up big and the Gators win next week against Georgia, all of a sudden that 50-1 is going to go flying down. So those are pretty decent odds, but really at the end of the day, it's Trevor Lawrence Invitational. Justin Fields is going to be right there. Mac Jones is pretty good. I kind of like Najee Harris though a little more than Mac Jones in this, in terms of the Heisman, if you like the Alabama guys. But right now, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and then whatever else you might like, go for it. But those are all specs at that point.
Yeah, Pete, talking about Trevor Lawrence, you know, obviously the favorite here, minus 110. He is a junior. You had some kind of a big media storm here on Twitter and in the sports betting world and just sports, college football in general. Trevor Lawrence talking about he might stay another year. He may not enter the NFL draft. You've heard about Lawrence for a long time. A lot of people regard him as the best quarterback prospect coming out of college since John Elway. But then, do you want to go to the Jets? I wouldn't want to go to the Jets. So what do you think Lawrence does? Any insight into this? Will he stay? Will he go into the NFL draft? And what would you do if you were Lawrence? You know, do you risk injury? Do you take out an insurance policy? What's your take on Lawrence, whether he stays or goes?
He is insane to play one more down of college football than he absolutely has to. I am a firm believer, and I love college football, obviously. But if you are, he's got a quarter of $1 billion out there waiting for him over his NFL career. What are you doing? Like, why are you playing college football anymore and risking all this money? So here's the thing. Even if he doesn't like the Jets, it's not like the team he goes to next year is going to be all that much better at the number one pick. He would have been the number one pick on the draft 3 years ago. He would have been the number one pick last year. He's going to be the number one pick next year. He is the number one ball. You said since John Elway, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, those are probably the three best quarterback prospects over the last, 40 years or so. He is it, but he loves college football. He loves Clemson. He loves playing there. And I think he's saying this now, but he's going to absolutely go pro.
Yeah. Wow. What a decision, though, right? It's the Jets.
Oh, boo hoo. He's going to make $100 million.
Yeah.
Let's
play for the Jets. Yeah. Thank you, Pete. That was awesome.
Thanks, anytime, Pete. Guys.
Absolutely. It's a great discussion. Great question, Josh. I'm curious to see what Trevor Lawrence is going to do, too. Up next, we have a battle for first place in two divisions. The juxtaposition between the battle for first place is off the charts. We'll talk about that next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. To hire, then you need Indeed. Instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. Battle of first place in two divisions. But one of those battles is in NFC East. So I don't know if that's a battle, a war, a conflict, whatever you want to do with this, Josh. But Cowboys, Eagles, man. We bet. We like to cash tickets. How do you see this game?
Yeah, this one is crazy here. So obviously, we don't really know who's going to start at quarterback for Dallas. So a lot of these lines are off the board here, Pritch, whether it'll be Andy Dalton, but then he was concussed. It could be a guy, Ben Niducci, who was from, I want to say James Madison. I may have that totally wrong, but I know he's from a smaller school. I think I've seen some books possibly hang a -7.5 out here for Philadelphia. At that case, again, the Cowboys are awful, but we talked about this with the Jets. When you have a team that never covers a number, it's almost like it's bound to happen, and you're buying really low and getting good value because, again, we saw with the Jets, they finally covered against the Bills. Dallas is now the only team in the NFL. They're 2-5, but they're the only team that's 0-7 ATS, haven't covered a single number here all year. So if that 7.5 holds true, if Andy Dalton is in there, again, it'd be tough for me to back that backup Niducci if he's the starter. But if you have Dalton, he's a veteran. You're getting 7.5 in a divisional game. Everyone and their mother is going to be off Dallas and wanting to take Philly at home in a primetime spot. So I would lean a little bit to Dallas. I want to see what happens here. But Pritch, also, I'm seeing on Twitter and in the internet just questions about, will Jerry Jones want to trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick? That kind of intrigued me a little bit. The Dolphins passing the baton there to Tua. What happens with Fitzpatrick? Cowboys have a need at quarterback, obviously. What do you think of that spot? And what's your take on Dallas just overall? Will they continue to implode?
If they trade for Fitzpatrick, what are you doing there? It's not like you're can you win a division with Fitzpatrick at your quarterback? I mean, eventually Andy Dalton's going to come back. This would purely be a backup situation to just get you by until Andy Dalton was healthy enough to play quarterback again. But I don't know. That move just doesn't make sense to me. I know Fitzpatrick wants to play again, and maybe his agent is throwing that out there. Who knows? But I think if you're Dallas, you wait until Andy Dalton is better, because at least you have some continuity from that standpoint. To bring in a new quarterback to learn the offense, to get familiar with the players as well as the play caller, I don't know how Dallas improves that way.
No, I agree with you. I think that's more of maybe just throwing something against the wall on gambling Twitter, seeing if it sticks. I mean, I wouldn't put it past Jerry Jones, though. He's the type of guy, you know, he is not happy with the way they're at, and seems like the kind of guy who would make a rash move. Remember, he wanted to draft Johnny Manziel a few years ago.
I do remember
he had to be talked out of that, Pritch. So, again, anything can happen in Dallas.
Yeah, going to say, does Fitzpatrick, does he even know McCarthy? Does he even know Kellen Moore, who runs the offense out there?
Another good question. What type of fit would he be? So, the only saving grace to me would be that division is just so wide open that maybe if you have just mediocre, competent quarterback play, you can probably challenge for that lead. And again, it could be any one of those teams. Look at Washington. They're not far off either here. So that's definitely something to monitor. Obviously, if you took the under 9.5 wins here for Dallas, you're looking pretty good at this point. But Pritch, I want to throw one at you, San Fran and Seattle. There's a couple good teams here. San Fran is a winning team. They're fourth in their division, but Seattle first overall in the NFC West. I'm seeing some liability here towards San Fran. The 49ers are really intriguing me this week because you have Seattle coming off their first loss of the year, losing to the Cardinals last week in primetime. Now they're playing another divisional opponent here. And these divisional opponents with these dogs getting points have a lot of value historically. So we've seen the Seattle Seahawks, they open -4 at most books. They're down to 3. And reading the juice here, Pritch, the +3 on the 49ers is getting juiced up to around -115. This may even go to 2.5. That's the way it's trending. Maybe it stays at 3, but it's not like it's trending back to 3.5. So the 49ers intrigue me. They're a road divisional dog, a line move in their favor, short road dog, COVID road dog line move, all those system matches. What's your take on this game? Obviously, you love Russell Wilson. Questionable defense. Can the 49ers keep this one close, Pritch?
Yeah, they can. I wish I had a stat on the games in terms of how influential the 12s were up there in Seattle. I know playing in the Kingdom, we loved the 12s, and the fan base up there was fanatical. I mean, they were incredible, and it helped us win some games. Now Seattle Seahawks, they don't have that this year, and a poor defense, like you mentioned. They're trying to get better defensively, but we'll see. I definitely think the 49ers can keep this one close. So another battle within a division, that's a battle. The other one's maybe an argument out there in the NFC East. Up next, Josh and I, we're going to certainly talk some more about college football and the National Football League. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, has great news for everyone. Starting right now, you can watch every VSiN show for free all week long on VSiN.com. Start with Follow the Money at 7 a.m. Eastern and get our entire 14 hours of live daily sports betting programs for free 24/7 on VSiN.com. Also, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including the daily Best Bets email and our Point Spread weekly betting guide. Head to VSiN.com now to start watching for free. This is the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back to the program. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. Let's get back to some of these great trends in college football, Josh. Cincinnati is 7-0 ATS against teams averaging 32 points per game. This is the last 7 games, right? So they play in Memphis. Memphis is averaging 39.3 points per game.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Pritch. That would match that system there. The way I'm seeing this game, you know, noon o'clock, 12 o'clock game here, Pritch, opened around a slight move to Cincinnati. So they opened, you know, depending on where you're looking, some -6s there. They're up to around 6.5. The interesting thing that I saw was that anytime Cincinnati got up to 7, you had a lot of buyback here on Memphis +7. So it really caught my eye is Memphis would match a system in terms of a road dog, conference dog, unranked versus ranked, kind of a line freeze type situation. The public is all over Cincinnati. This is a very lopsided play to the Bearcats here. They're 4-0, obviously. Memphis 3-1. Also kind of like the fact Memphis, they're 3-1, but they're only 1-3 ATS. So I think you're going to have some public bias against them. The fact they've won, but haven't covered these numbers. So a little bit of lean to me with Memphis. Ideally, if you can hold out for a 7, I think that would be your top play. But Pritch, what's your take on that one? I am seeing some undervalue there as well. A lot of under money has come in. That could be another windy opportunity. We've seen that total fall around 58 to 55.5.
I was doing some work on Cincinnati because, okay, they're highly ranked, and certainly I think that program's got it going in the right direction. They've upgraded facilities. Everybody's excited about that. Everybody's excited about Bearcat football, and that was interesting to me. So their defense is only giving up 12.5 points a game. They run the ball very, very well. I know Memphis, they don't defend the rush that all that well. So I'm curious about that number, -6.5 for Cincinnati there. This game, I want to watch it first. I want to see for myself what Cincinnati is about, because I have not watched them yet this year. So I'm going to take an intense look on that game and watch the Bearcats there, because I'm intrigued by them this year.
No, I am too. And I think the one thing you like about Cincinnati is their defense is very, very stout. They're only giving up, 12 points a game, really low number here. That would lead you to believe maybe that under has some value because they typically play these low scoring games. The public, you know, it's funny. You look at totals in the NFL of 55.5. That's really, really high. College, that's kind of an average total. We're seeing totals, in the 60s, the 70s even. There's one game, I forget what it is this weekend, Pritch, but the total went from like 78 to 82. I'll find that game for you because I know that's a massive number there. But to me, that's kind of a buy low opportunity with this under. Since he playing good defense, the line dropping, little bit of wind, conference under. Those are the sort of things that I look for.
Okay, let's get to another game. LSU at Auburn. LSU is 10-0-1 ATS the last 10 years as an unranked team.
Yeah, that one's crazy, Pritch. And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, I didn't write off LSU, but I just thought something's up with them. They lost a lot of guys. What kind of quarterback play will they get? And they really showed me something last week, crushing South Carolina 52-24, easily covered there -4.5 with that number. Tickets are split down the middle, and I don't think really the public knows where to go with this one. But we have seen a little liability here toward LSU on the road. Typically, I like to really take these conference dogs in these games here. Some of these books were trending even towards 3.5. I think the books are reluctant to go to the hook because they know they'll get hit with Auburn +3.5 money here. But it seems to me most of this movement, you know, some books are even like -1.5, -2 to LSU. I think the true opener is closer to 2.5, but really it's been LSU money moving this number, and it's not really a public play. This would be another, opportunity with the over actually. Open around 63. It's up to 65.5. Maybe you get a lot of points in that one. But to me, LSU has been getting hit with more respected money than Auburn has.
Okay. And then Mississippi State at Alabama. Mississippi State is 1-9 ATS the last 10 games on the road against teams outscoring opponents by more than 15 points per game.
Yeah, that's a mouthful, Pritch. You'd have to read that back to me. That was tough there.
Well, it's a trend.
No, you're totally right. And again, what I'm seeing here with this game is this is a little bit of a sharp play to Mississippi State. So Alabama ranked #2 overall. This is a massive spread. A lot of times it doesn't matter. Alabama, you know, they'll win by 40 when they're -31. But we have seen this line tick down a little bit. This open Alabama -33, -32. Public here is really laying the points, rushing to the window to back the Crimson Tide. But Mississippi State has been getting some action, the line moving in their favor. They're unranked versus a top five team. A lot of times betting on unranked teams against highly ranked top five teams does have some value. This would be a conference dog. You also have a rested Mississippi State team off a bye. So I would look toward the points in this one, but it's hard betting against Alabama, Pritch, because you're banging your head against the wall with a team that scores a lot of points.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. Not at all. And I think we have that information and your thoughts on this. UCF versus Houston.
That's the one, right?
82.5.
Ridiculous, Pritch. This is crazy. So, you know, you have the public hitting the over, but it's not overwhelming. It's only about 2/3 of bets. But this to me seems a little more sharp than it is public money because, first off, opening at 78-79, that's just ridiculous to start. But a lot of times when you have an inflated line where the line is going up, it's a buyback opportunity to take an inflated under, but that's not what we're seeing here. This line keeps going up and up and up. It's now at 82.5, even some 83s there. Weather should not be an issue. This is the one game here where Really shouldn't have any problems whatsoever. It's going to be a great day. And I don't call me crazy. I think taking the over isn't really a bad play whatsoever. You always know UCF. They score a ton of points. Both these teams averaging 45 a game, 38 a game. They're giving up 33 a game, 31 a game. So you have kind of porous defenses. You have really high powered offense. Don't be scared off by a number to bet an over just because it's high, or scared off by an under just because it's low. No matter where the number's set, the public and really the sharps are going to mold that number. So the fact that it's rising, even though it opens so high, you know, this could be a game 45 to 42, that kind of thing, Pritch. But what do you think? Is that number scare you off? It's pretty high. That's the highest one I've seen in a long time.
Well, I digest a lot of what you say. And so I wonder, did it get steamed up and did we miss the boat here? Like 78 would have been the number, right?
That's very true, Pritch. Exactly.
It got steamed up, Josh. It got steamed up. But 82 and a half. I want to watch the game now.
And Roop, if you're on the over.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of offense in that one. Come up next, more market insight from the great Josh Applebaum. Can't wait to get some more updates on line movement in the National Football League, perhaps college football as well. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. MGM Sports has a special offer for VSiN listeners. New customers can get the first deposit matched instantly up to $250 in free bets with bonus code VSIN250. Discover why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks with parlay bonus payouts, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and use bonus code VSIN250 to get your first deposit matched up to $250 in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. And Josh, some market insights. Thursday night football, both college and pro. What do you have here?
Yeah, Pritch, I wanted to get your take on first the two college games for tomorrow night, because it's going to be a good night. You know, tonight I'm dying for action. I got nothing, Pritch, but we got a big day tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to it. But first one is South Alabama and Georgia Southern. That's your early game tomorrow. It's a 7:30 p.m. Eastern time game. Both these teams are 3-2. A little Sun Belt fun belt here. You have South Alabama. They've won two straight. Georgia Southern is off a loss to Coastal in this one. Now, normally I would say buy low on Georgia Southern here, laying a short number, but I've actually seen a really sharp line move here to South Alabama, because Georgia Southern is getting a majority of bets in this one. But this line actually opened with Georgia Southern listed as a 6.5-point favorite at home. Over the past 24 hours, we've seen this line. It was at minus 5.5 Georgia Southern. And over the past 24 hours, it's dropped now to 4. I'm even seeing some books that got closer to 3.5. I would hold out to see maybe if you can get a 4.5 in this one. There may be some kind of what I call natural buyback where we have a little bit of an evening out here. But really, this is a contrarian play to South Alabama. Public's on Georgia Southern, yet the line is moving towards South Alabama. So I think grabbing the points in this one has a little bit of value. But Pritch, what's your take? Obviously a small conference game. It'll be very heavily bet for tomorrow, but any reason to like South Alabama in the points in that one?
No, I do. Georgia Southern, one of those teams, it's hard to really gauge how much points I want to lay. I'd feel more comfortable catching points in this situation. So I can see why people would want to do that.
Yeah, you're totally right. And I do look at, it's kind of funny. People say Sun Belt, Fun Belt, and it's just kind of crazy because a lot of these road dogs in the Sun Belt Conference tend to do well. Okay. It's not cut and dry every single time, but you're looking at around a 54% rate to road Sun Belt Conference dogs in the over about the last decade or so. So that one caught my eye. The later one, I'm looking at Colorado State. They're a little bit of a public play, which I don't really like, but I've seen a pretty sharp move toward Colorado State. This line open, depending on where you're looking, it was about -1 or even a pick 'em type game to start. And you've seen Colorado State get steamed up all the way to -1.5. So this would be a road pick 'em game that has turned into a road favorite game with Colorado State. You're also looking at a little bit of an overplay. It's been ticked up 58-59. Pritch, what's your take on Colorado State? You have Adazio taking over from BC. He's had a lot of transfers move that way. It's a very tight number, so I'd even look to money line this if you're worried about maybe a 1-point game. But any reason to like Colorado State here, Pritch?
Oh, wow. Talk about a turbulent offseason, Josh. Adazio. Hey, dude. I mean, that thing, everybody had to get familiar there. And then you mentioned the transfers. Now, he does have a quarterback, Patrick O'Brien, that, you know, you can get excited about a little bit, but then they lose Warren Jackson, who was a nice receiver. He's getting ready for the draft. And they're facing Fresno State on the road here. Fresno State has the game under their belt, even though they lost it. DeBoer is trying to get that program started or headed in the right direction. You know, from a historical standpoint, Fresno State used to get the cast-offs of USC. like the Inland Empire, a lot of players that didn't land at SC or Cal, they would go to Fresno State. But I don't know if that's the case right now. I don't know what kind of athletes they have out there. But Adazio, he's got a rebuild here with the Rams. And I don't know if I want to give him points here or late points for that situation. Very turbulent offseason for the Rams.
No, I agree with you. That would cause a little bit of hesitation. To me, the fact that you had this move tells you got a little bit of smart money, but you're right, Pritch. Wait this one out. The other thing with college football is you do tend to see some big moves late. Maybe that'll go the other way. Maybe you'll see Fresno State get scooped up there +1.5. So see where the next move comes. But I want to ask you, Pritch, number one, did you ever go up to Wyoming? Did you ever play up in Laramie? Because I'm seeing some money come in on Wyoming for a Friday night game here, 9:45, late start. You have Hawaii. They're coming off that win. You know, they're 1-0 to start. Wyoming is 0-1. They look pretty good. Hawaii beating Fresno last week, and Wyoming had a bit of a shootout. They came up short against Nevada, 37-34. But this game has been moving toward Wyoming. This is kind of a public play to Hawaii off a win. They're only -1 here, but they actually opened up -1.5 or -2. So this line is falling toward Wyoming. So Pritch, what's your take on Wyoming? Is it tough to play up there? Do you like Wyoming possibly upset on a short line?
I do like Wyoming. Kind of surprised by Nevada last week. Wyoming had a chance in that game, but could not cap it off and get the victory. But I do like Wyoming. Wyoming is a tough place to play. I've never played there, but I've covered games. I've called a few games up there. And I believe I almost lost my life on a trip up there, landing in Laramie. preferably land in Cheyenne if you're Hawaii. That landing in Laramie will get you. But that is a tough trip, though. You're coming all the way out from Hawaii. Hopefully they land in Cheyenne and make the drive over to Laramie. But the elevation, the altitude, I think could be a situation that Hawaii might not be ready for early on in their season as well. But looking for a bounce back situation from Wyoming out there at home.
Yeah, I'm excited to sweat that game tomorrow night. The other one I wanted to throw, I'm excited to sweat all games, Pritch, but
of course.
Another one I want to throw at you, Northwestern and Iowa. I know we're up against it. We'll see how many games we can get to here, but Northwestern, obviously they demolished Maryland 43-3 in their opener there, easily covered the -13. They're now going to Iowa. Iowa is coming off that loss. You actually had sharps on Purdue that last game. They won 24-20 as a 3.5-point dog. So Iowa lost straight up as a favorite in that one. Normally, again, I like to buy low on these teams that lost, bet against these teams that won. They tend to be overvalued. But the market isn't really in agreement with that. I'm seeing some movement toward Northwestern. You saw Iowa open as about a 3-point favorite at home. Tickets are kind of split down the middle. Public doesn't really know where to go. They still kind of like that bigger name Iowa school with a short spread at home, but they also kind of respect Northwestern off that good season opening win. But again, that key number of 3 down to 2.5, similar to what you're seeing with Atlanta and Carolina tomorrow. That's always notable to me because it takes respected money to move off a key number. But Pritch, what's your cap on this one? Is this easy? Just lay it with Iowa. They'll win by 3 if you get the 2.5. Or do you think that smart money is with Northwestern causing that 3 to 2.5 drop.
Yeah, I know. Intel for me again here. Iowa, is it reputation? I don't know. Northwestern have not seen them play, obviously, 2020. It's just so many unknowns. I can find uses for my money elsewhere here, Josh, and other than Iowa. Iowa had a turbulent offseason, too, if you think about some of the activity with the coaches and some of the players, too, some of those claims there. But you're playing football now. That total's interesting at 46.5, in addition to that line there for Iowa, -2.5.
I agree with you, Pritch, and you bring up a very good point. You know, if you don't have a lean on a game, if you don't have a reason to bet it, if you don't have a data-driven reason or the capping you've done and you don't see value, lay off. So that's a good teachable moment right there. Maybe you got something on this one, Pritch. Mississippi and Vanderbilt. This one is intriguing to me because two really bad teams just based on one-loss records. Ole Miss is 1-4. Vandy's 0-3. Vandy, they've been getting crushed. They've lost two straight games, 41-7. To LSU and South Carolina. That's tough competition, though.
Yeah.
But what I'm looking at here is a really big line that I think you can buy low on Vanderbilt at home. So looking at this spot here, this open Ole Miss -18 on the road. This line is now down to 16.5, even though you have the public rushing to the window to bet against Vandy, expecting Vandy to lose by, you know, easily 20 or more, 30 or more. But yet we're seeing this line move to Vanderbilt, and they would match a couple systems here. A Power 5 dog, conference game, line move in their favor, getting big points at home. Any reason to buy low on Vandy in this spot? Do you trust Ole Miss with this huge number, Pritch?
I don't trust them with the huge number. Actually, Josh, I do. I mean, at home, getting that many points looks intriguing to me. That total at 64 out here in Vegas, too. No, I'd be interested in this game. Absolutely. I think Vandy, from a program standpoint, I mean, I'm not betting that, right? I'm betting that number, and that looks attractive.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that line move is important. Another one I'll throw out you, Pritch, a late game. This is in your neck of the woods, Nevada and UNLV.
Yeah.
This is intriguing to me as well. I think you're seeing some, the public may be forgetting about this game. It's a late game. It's kind of, you know, low on your odds page. You don't really kind of gloss over it, but a lot of money is coming on Nevada here. They opened, depending on where you're looking, around a 10, 12 point favorite, some -13s out there, but they're getting all the way up to -14. This is a very low bet game, a late game. No one really has their eye on it, but I'm just seeing Nevada get pounded and pounded. Now they're up to the key number here. You saw Nevada, they're 1-0. They just beat Wyoming in that shootout. UNLV lost to San Diego State, looked terrible, 34-6. But what's your take? Any insight on the ground? You got any source plays for me, Pritch?
I do.
Yeah,
I do. This is the battle of the Fremont Cannon. So typically every year, Nevada versus UNLV, which color will the cannon be painted? It's red right now. UNLV had a last minute victory last year up there and UNR up there in Reno. And certainly people were unhappy with that. There was some violence after the game. This is an intense rivalry situation, Josh. The way that the Rebels played last week, though, they have to fix up and shore up a lot of things in 1 week. Whereas up there in UNR, I mean, I think they're poised and ready to go. But this line is a big number. I can see why it's getting pounded up there for the Wolfpack.
Yeah, you're totally right, Pritch. Yep. I'm worried it's a rivalry game, but hey, sharp move there to Nevada. Hey, it's been a pleasure the last couple of days, Pritch.
Hey, my pleasure too, Josh. I look forward to next week as always. And then also look forward to watching you on VSiN this weekend too, but then also making sure you enjoy the games out there as well. That'll do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with James Linus. He'll be back on the program on Thursday. But up next, my guys in the desert right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.